The Ron Van Dam Show is made possible by generous contributions from listeners like you. Except you, Jerry. You're a turd. We're sending your money back to you. Don't ever send money here again, Jerry. You know perfectly well why. Final warning. You haven't forgotten. We haven't forgotten, Jerry. Okay? Like $14 was gonna smooth things over with Ron. No, Jerry. Just fucking no. We will send people to your house. For everyone who's not Jerry, thank you. And we return you to the Ron Van Dam Show. Turn off the podcast, Jerry. We mean it.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Good evening. Good night. It's the Ron Van Dam Show.
Okay, sure, whatever.
Hold on tight. Things can get a bit weird, if you like that sort of thing.
Hey, welcome to the program. It is the Ron Van Dam Show. Yes, it is. Don't argue with me. How you doing? Good to be with you. I'll be with you for the next half hour, and then I won't be. Then you're on your own. And God, oh, save us all, huh? I don't mean that in a religious sense. It's just a saying. Have you done all your holiday shopping yet? Which holiday? I don't know. Christmas? Hanukkah? Kwanzaa? The hut thing? I don't know. Whatever the rest of them are. All right. That's enough. Welcome to the show. I have an interesting guest coming up later in the program, which I'm sure will delight the hell out of you. But in the meantime, you got me. Let's just do this, okay? Can we just do this and get it over with? I have other things to do. So do you. Let's just get this done. All right, here we go. It's that time of the year to lie. What? What are you talking about? You know, lying is okay because we do it every day. And of course, our biggest lying coach of all, Donald Trump, says it's okay to lie and then to defend your lie when you know you're lying. You know that, right? Come on, you know that. You have to know how to lie. If you're going to lie, then you got to stick by your lie and then get angry that somebody is actually saying that you're lying to them. It's a phenomenal thing to watch. You're lying to me. How dare you ask? How dare you say that? I'm sorry. Unbelievable crap going on. Anyway, this is the time of the year, one of those times of the year when we lie. We do the little white lies. Now, I don't know what colors my lies are. And now we're breaking them up into a color wheel pattern. I don't know. You know what the white lie is this time of year? By the way, you want to get the kids out of the room because I'm going to talk about this, and I don't think you want the kids to hear this. Go have them bang on some pots and pans in the kitchen or something. Oh, you are in the kitchen? All right, then tell them to go to the bathroom like a long time, okay? Let them get used to going to the bathroom a long time because that's going to be their adult life. The bathroom is the only room in the house where you can close the door and it's like, oh, now no one can bother me for a little while. People do that when they work in offices. They do. They go into the men's room or the ladies' room. They sit in the stall and they go, okay, nobody can bother me here. I'm just going to chill out on the toilet. I'm telling you, man. I mean, get used to it. Let's have it. Anyway. This time of year, it's white light time. Are the kids out of the room? I told you. All right. It's your fault now. It's that Santa Claus thing. Oh my God, Santa's coming to town. No, he's not. It's those white lies. Jesus is coming. No, he's not. He's not coming. Neither is Santa. No one's coming. Your in-laws are coming. That's true. Other than that, no. No one's coming. They'll tell you they're coming. They won't show up. There's a track record. They always say they're coming. They never come. I was young once for a couple of minutes when I was younger. I was young. I bought that Santa Claus thing. I did. I did think in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, this fat man in the red suit, of course, Caucasian, would come down the chimney. We didn't have a chimney, but yet I believed that he somehow got in the house, maybe through one of the air vents or something like that. That this fat, jolly man could fit through little spaces in order to enter my home. I bought it because it was a white lie and we all did it. I had my parents put out a plate of cookies and a glass of milk. Can you imagine if Santa ate that stuff at every single house? Why, he'd be fat. Oh, wait a minute. I get it now. And Santa would have a sack of presents on the back of his back there, in a sack back. And there'd be reindeer on the roof. And can you stretch this story more unbelievably than you already have? And they never modernized the story like Santa arrives in an Uber. They never did that, you know. They just, and Santa, you know, is wearing now, you know, a leisure suit, you know, maybe a track suit instead of the red thing. They never updated that either. You know, Santa's beard, nicely trimmed and cared for. No, it's scraggly. I don't know. I bought it when I was a kid. I really did believe. And sometimes I'd wake up in the middle of the night on Christmas Eve, and I would think I was hearing things on the roof. Of course, there were squirrels trying to get into my attic, that kind of thing. Not my attic, my parents' attic. I didn't own an attic at that time. I was simply a tenant in my parents' house. It was not so bad. I didn't have to pay for the food. There was no rent. The utilities were free, and they gave me stuff. And they took me places. It wasn't a bad deal, really. But, you know, like everything else, it ends. And you have to be on your own, and that's a problem. And I got all excited about Christmas Eve because of that. And then when I got older, I don't think anybody told me that there wasn't a Santa. All of a sudden, there just wasn't. And then you tell your children the same lies that you were told. Because it's not something that you presuppose necessarily from the stories. You do ask your parents about Santa, and they do have to lie to you because they don't want to break that wonderful, wonderful children's story of Santa Claus bringing gifts. When I became a parent, apparently, I got a little ticked off sometimes that when my kids got a nice present, they said, "Oh, look what Santa got us." And I felt like saying, "No, I bought that. That's why I work all day, kids, because I bought this stuff for you with my hard-earned money. That was me, not Santa's Claus. It was me." "No, it was Santa." "Oh, God, I don't like this story. I'm not getting the credit that I deserve. Guy in the fat red suit gets all the credit. I'm working hard. I get nothing. I get nothing but socks and underpants. And maybe a tie that I don't wear anymore anyway." Yeah, we spread the big lie. But we love it because it's that sparkle in the kid's eye when they believe something that doesn't really exist. But it's okay. Somehow we never get mad at our parents for telling us this lie through our entire childhood till we're 23 years old. We don't get mad at them. You know, "Why did you lie to me? I asked you direct questions about this fantasy Claus thing, and you lied directly to me. Why? How could you do that to me?" They never do that. They never put you on the spot. They just don't. Because they understand, they figure it out. They're like, "Whoa, okay, that was a cool story, and I was into it, and you didn't want to ruin it for me. Okay, I get it. You weren't lying to me. You were going along with the lie that everybody else made up." I just don't understand. See, when I was growing up, back in 1902. Kidding, no, I'm not that old. Back in when Columbus said to me, "Ron, how are you? Where can I put my ship?" No, I'm not that old. When Moses said to me, "Ron, want to come up the mountain with me so we can talk?" No, never happened. We still buy those lies, don't we? Moses getting the Ten Commandments on top of a mountain there. Burning bush. Yeah, right, fine. Parting the Red Sea. Yeah, right, okay, sure. All these things. The Ark. I mean, I don't know if there was. I wasn't around, but I'm tending to think that didn't happen that way. Get two of every animal. Oh, okay. My response, if God told me to get two of every animal, I'd probably respond by saying, "Seriously? Are you kidding me right now?" Anyway, so we're lied to continually, and then we just buy it because, you know, we live in a pool of lies. In a pool of lies. As we are right now with, this Trump guy and all his cronies. I mean, they're just like a pool of lies, and a lot of people believe it. And then they get mad about it. Lying? No, you're lying. Oh, okay, we're doing the schoolyard, no you are, no you are, no you are, no you are kind of thing. I see, great, this is wonderful, this is what we evolved to, this is nice. No you are, no you are. No you're lying, no you're lying. Oh God, come on. We live with these things, man. Even when you get older, come on, you know it. Do I look fat in this dress? That's my impersonation of a woman, by the way, right now. That's my female voice. Do I look fat in this dress? No, you don't. You look fat in every dress. No, you can't. No, don't do that. Do I look fat in this dress? No, not at all. Lie? She knows you're lying. You know you're lying. But we do it because it just makes everything okay. Don't ask the question if you don't want to hear it. I'm not going to be the one to spoil the whole facade, though. Not me, no. I ain't taking a rap for this one. No, 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 no. And these are things that I learned. And without the Santa Claus fable, I would never be able to do the white lie because I wouldn't understand what a lie is. Kids need to understand what lies are from a very early age. And they need to discover themselves that there is no Santa Claus. What did I just say? That there apparently is a malfunction in the statement of truth. How about that? That's why I don't like attorneys. I don't know. I don't mind them. It's their job. I get it. But attorneys they play the game. The court system is a game. You have to know the rules. And in order to know the rules, you need to have the law degree and the license, of course. Very similar to owning a dog. You need a license to practice law. I love that phrase. What do you do? I practice law. When are you going to get it right? When are you going to actually do it? No, I'm practicing now as we speak. You're talking to me. You're not practicing law. I don't hear you walking around going, and Latin for this, and I give it. You're not practicing right now. No, I am practicing now. I'm in the legal practice. When does anybody get it right when they're not practicing anymore? Why do you use that term? It's stupid. That's like you're in a play. I'm going to go on Broadway. We're practicing right now. And then what happens? Then we go on Broadway and I'm not practicing anymore. I'm actually doing it. Why can't attorneys get that down? Practicing law. I hope to get it right someday. Anyway, it's an entire game. You have to go by the rules, and there's a judge who sits behind a gigantic desk. I don't know if there's anything in the drawers at all, but a gigantic desk. And the only tool that the judge really uses is a mallet, is a hammer. Like he's about to build something or put together a toy that he got his kids for Christmas. and he sits behind this, and he wears a robe. Everybody else is dressed up. He gets to wear a robe. You have to respect the robe. I have a robe. Nobody respects that. That's because it's plaid, Ron. Oh, if it was black, it would be okay? I don't understand. Everybody's got to respect the guy with the robe on? Yeah. Look at the Pope. He wears a robe all day. Well, is he comfortable? I guess. Everybody else doesn't get to wear the robe. I want to wear a robe, too. And pajamas. Like the people at Walmart. They're comfortable. And the judge decides whether you're playing the game or not. And will stop you if you're not playing by the rules. But an attorney gets to twist the words around and make you say stuff that you don't mean to say. And then you say, well, no, that's not what I meant. Oh, but you said that, didn't you? Yes, I did say it, but that's didn't mean it the way that you were interpreting it. But you said it, didn't you? Well, yes, I... Yes or no? Did you say it or did you not? Yes, I did. But, no buts, no buts. Judge, he wants to butt me. Well, look, I'm wearing the robe, and I say, no. Next witness, please. I've had enough of you as well. I mean, it's the whole thing, and people's lives are on the line sometimes, and their reputations, and a lot of money, and jail time, and all that. But yet, you know, you could play that game. And then when you really commit an offense, and you really do, and you're indicted 90 times, and your response is, I did nothing wrong. And all 90 of those things, I did nothing wrong. Every single indictment that you are saying against me, I didn't do any of them at all. Okay, Don. Don, here's the deal, though. You were president. I heard you. I was there. I was on the planet. I heard you say the stuff. It's still on the record. No, but I didn't mean it that way. Oh, shut up. Just shut up. On my grave, it should say, did you really think I was that stupid? That's what it should say on my tombstone.
My tombstone, back in the old West, we had tombstones.
I don't even know what that is. Anyway, the big lie. There's this lie. We live with lies all the time. Depending on your religious background, you live with lies or you don't, or maybe a little bit of them. I really don't know. But we all live under these stories that we have accepted to be the truth without being there, without any type of proof or evidence or anything like that. We just buy it. Well, he said it, so it must be true. Because I idolize that guy, so whatever he says. Aren't we not supposed to have idols? Wasn't that part of somebody's religious deal? I don't know. I don't know how it works. I don't know how it works anymore. All I can say is, as the theme of this show is, white lies, I guess, are okay. You shouldn't lie, but at the same time, you should sometimes. If lying doesn't hurt anybody, I guess it's okay. Well, problem is, sometimes lies do hurt people big time, and you got to be careful, and you got to just admit, hey, I made a mistake. Do you know people that never make a mistake, like an ex-president that I refer to every once in a while? Never made a mistake. Mistakes, admitting mistakes are a sign of weakness, said Donald J. Trump. Admitting mistakes are signs of weaknesses. Okay, I think you got that wrong. Because I think it was Obama who said, when you make a mistake, that's a teachable moment. In other words, when you make a mistake, you've learned something and you probably won't make the mistake again. That's how we learn. It's how we grow. Anyway, that's enough pontification on my part. I may pontificate, but I don't get to wear the robe. And besides, I don't want to be that comfortable all day. I really don't. What if you're wearing a robe all day and then you want to change it to something more comfortable? There isn't anything. That's it. You're in it. You're in it already. There's nothing to change into. That makes it boring. When a woman says, let me just change my clothes and then we'll go out. Oh, okay. Sounds like fun. I mean, it just sounds like fun. I'm going to change. Good. Perhaps not just your clothes. Perhaps your personality as well would be nice. Why don't you change everything? How about that? We'll take a break, and when we come back, my guest will be joining us for today. Don't lie to your kids, but at the same time, don't ruin their good times. It's not worth it. It really isn't. There's a nice thing about believing certain things and going with it. As long as at some point in your life you kind of realize, well, that isn't really true. Okay, now I don't know what I'm talking about. We'll be right back after this.
Have you been injured in an auto accident? Have you thought about maybe getting injured in an auto accident? Every day, hundreds of people around the country win very profitable lawsuits for the injuries they've suffered in auto accidents. But it's not always easy to find an auto accident to be involved in that you yourself didn't cause. That's where I come in. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, aka Crash Boom Jimmy. I can not only represent you in your injury lawsuit case, but I can help you arrange and be involved in the very accident for which you're seeking to collect. After years on the job, I know a guy who knows a guy who probably knows a guy who can thoughtfully arrange your accident to the degree you want, from gentle fender bender to near-death experience. And if you do happen to die in your accident, there is no cost to you for my services. Attorney Jimmy LaGuardia, call me now at 555-CRASH-BOOM for your free consultation, probably somewhere down near the docks where there aren't a lot of cameras, or maybe in the back room of my cousin Lorenzo's restaurant. They make such a good bourgeois, you can't believe it. 555-CRASH-BOOM. Call me today, because with Jimmy LaGuardia, winning your lawsuit is no accident.
Rob Hosking joins us now. He's career and workplace expert for Talent Solutions at the Robert Half. And we're talking about you getting a job. Not you, Rob. I'm talking about other people. You already have a job. The job market is still quite strong. And I know that your company does research on this all the time. Is the market indeed still strong for those searching for jobs?
Yes, it definitely is. And I've been doing this for almost three decades, and I'm very optimistic about the hiring outlook in 2024. I would say it's supported by three things. Our State of the U.S. hiring report shows that almost 60% of companies plan to add new full-time jobs, and 39% for vacated jobs, which is really exciting news if you're looking for a new role. And then on the contract side, almost 70% of respondents plan to hire more contract workers. And we're also seeing that companies that paused projects in 2023, maybe took a little bit of a sidestep, are resuming those projects, and it's happening already, and we believe will continue into next year as well.
Yeah,
and proof of all of this is in our full report.
Yeah, the economy is looking pretty good. Companies are growing and they're investing, and rates are going down interest wise, and things are getting snappy and nice here. And it's still a nice situation for those searching for work. I remember, and your numbers probably show, that it wasn't long ago that companies were actually desperate to hire. Is it still a desperate thing, or are we kind of leveling off a little bit?
So there definitely is, there's some pent-up demand, for sure, and organizations that maybe were a little delayed in hiring are now trying to catch up.
Good.
But certainly there's a balance between vacated jobs and creation of new jobs as well, which is exciting.
Now, what if one is saying to themselves, well, I'm not well trained to do a lot of these things that I see being advertised? Are companies in the mindset of doing their own training with good employees, or do you still have to have a little bit of a background to get hired properly?
We're definitely seeing more of an openness for organizations to recognize that maybe they won't be able to find 100% of what they're looking for from a skill perspective. And looking at individuals that have, you know, the soft skills, they have the technical abilities and capabilities, but maybe not everything. And to your point, bringing in people that actually may be able to be trained into those roles.
Yeah, I mean, I worked for a few companies in human resources, and we were looking for people that were just like really good and really smart, and we figured we'll train them, that way they'll be ours, they'll know our stuff. So it's actually it's a plus to have a clean slate, but a smart clean slate at that.
That's right.
What's your best piece of advice for job seekers that are looking to take advantage here?
So I have some advice for both workers and for companies, for job seekers, I'd recommend what we would call the three T's. So starting with taking inventory, and I talk to workers every day, and I ask them, are you happy? What would make you happy, and is now the right time for you to make a move? And I'd encourage everyone to ask themselves those questions. Then tap your network, so reach out to your personal and professional contacts to better understand what's happening in your local market, so who's hiring and where may there be opportunities. Sometimes best roles can be created or identified through your network. Mm-hmm. And then turn to a staffing firm. So they know the market better than anyone, and they can help you get what you want. And that sometimes maybe is an increase in base salary, maybe it's culture or flexible work. And then on the employer side, in addition to compensation, we're consistently seeing flexibility as the key to attract and retain workers.
Yeah. If you keep your workers happy, then you got a good deal going. But you gotta meet them halfway. You know, you brought up a good point. When I was younger, you've been doing this for a while, so have I. When I was younger, there were employment agencies. And that worked rather well. They got a percentage, that kind of thing. But they were very successful in helping you find a job that fit you with the job. And now it's like online stuff, which is fine, I guess. But we're lacking that personal help kind of feeling. Where do you stand as far as setting yourself up through what avenues in order to achieve this?
There definitely is still a need for human interaction, and yes. We live in a world where there's lots of AI and there's things that are pulling at people, but the human touch is very important. Relationships are key. Mm-hmm. Company culture is really important, and organizations are looking for people that will fit and work into that. So truly be yourself, and make sure that you let your personality show through the interview process when you're looking for a role, and tap all of those resources and networks. Yeah.
Do people get a little nervous when they start looking for another job while they have a job? Like, is my employer going to find out, et cetera, et cetera? I mean, when do you make those kinds of decisions?
Definitely can. And, I would say for individuals, there's that stress, right? Especially if you're in an office and you're trying to set up an interview or do something when, your leader may be right around the corner. it is, something that you need to be a little careful in terms of expanding that net or casting that net out into your network. But, I think if you've had the conversations with your leader around your current role and what could help to make it better, if there's a reason why you're looking to leave, that's really important as well, so that it's not a surprise if you ultimately do resign to go do something else.
Is it recommended that you sit down with your supervisor and say, look, I'm looking to advance within the company, because that's like getting another job too, to advance in it, get another title within the same company. Is that on the same par as looking for a new job in a sense?
It is. And I do believe it is important to have that open dialogue with your leader, and hopefully it's well received. Mm-hmm. But I think being able to set that time up, whether it's in a review period or time, to indicate, here's what I've accomplished, here's what I've done in this role, here's why I'd like to take on more or do something different, mm-hmm. or what would I need to continue to do or do differently if I was going to be considered for a promotion or for something else or to take on something else. And that does open up the dialogue. And sometimes I think you'll find that leaders are open to that and, in fact, very excited about that, because in the absence of knowing, if nobody's ever said anything, they may not be aware and then are surprised when the person leaves, which isn't ideal.
Yeah, it's a very good point. I think companies, if you're good, they want to keep you. So they might actually be happy to hear news like that you want to move within. Very nice. Well, obviously Robert Half has got this going on. How do we get more information about this?
Yes, you can visit roberthalf.com, and that will you'll be able to be led to all the latest hiring and salary trends, and or you can reach out to one of our experts to help you land your next dream job.
There you go. Well, that's a happy thing. Things are looking up, and nothing bad about what you're talking about there. I'll tell you, Robert. Okay.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for your time today. We appreciate it. Well, that'll do it for me today. I'll be back again tomorrow with a brand new program. But until that time arrives, I wish you peace.